Okay, now, we're going to start Miketz now. Now, obviously, the fact, as we explained last time, the fact that Yosef, on his level, that he was lacking complete bitachon, that if Hashem wanted him there, and he was supposed to be there, not to put his trust into human beings, on Yosef's level was pretty bad. Okay, so now, Vayhi Miketz Asayim Yamim, is at the end of 2 years, and this is the additional 2 years that Yosef was sitting in prison. Upare chaylim, and Pare had a dream. Vinei emed ala ya'eret, and he was standing on the Nile. There's a lot to talk just on this pasuk, but there's an interesting remez. Shabbos Miketz is usually Shabbos Chanukah. Most 99% of the time, this parsha we read during Chanukah. That's the time of the year. And if you look at the word Shenasayim, it's a hint to Chanukah. Why? Shenasayim is an acronym, or Rosh Hashanah, for the following. Smel Ner Tadlik Yemin Mezuzah. What does it mean? The Gemara discusses that when you have the Chanukah menorah and you put it in the doorway, so you put the Chanukah menorah on the left. Why? So the Gemara, I mean, there's an argument in the Gemara, but the Gemara, the halach of the Gemara is, you put the mezuzah on the right side of the door, and the Chanukah menorah on the left side of the door, that you should be surrounded completely with mitzvahs. That's what the Gemara says. So if the Shenasayim stands for smel on the left, ner tadlik, you should light a candle, meaning the Chanukah, yamin, on the right side, you should light mezuzah. Okay, I mean, not light, but you should put the mezuzah. So Pasuk says now, is at the end of 2 years, and because he did something bad, like we learned before, Pari had a dream. Now, the Mefarshim learn, Pari Cholem is present tense. Not Pari Cholam. He had a dream. Pari Cholem means it was a continuous dream for 2 years. But he woke up in the morning and he kept forgetting the dream. That's what the Medrash says. This night, after the 2 years, when it was time for Yosef to go out of prison, so now he remembered the dream. And this dream is compared a lot to a dream of Nebuchadnezzar. There was a king of Babel who destroyed the first base of Migdash. His name was Nebuchadnezzar, very powerful king. He had a dream, and it came in the morning. Not only didn't he know the interpretation of the dream, he forgot the dream. And the famous Daniel, the one with the lions and all that, Daniel, came and told Nebuchadnezzar both the dream and the interpretation. Here, Pare remembered the dream, even though, as we were learning in Chumash, he really changed a lot from the dream. Pare made a lot of changes from the actual dream to what he told Yosef.
Intentionally.
Well, basically intentionally, because he said it over wrong. And there's reasons why the Kleyaka and the Mefarshim explain why he made those changes from the actual dream to the way he told it over to Yosef. Okay? And the first change is even in this pasuk. It says, Pari dreamt, and he's standing on the Nile. Okay? Now, normally the pasuk should have said, before this, the Malbim explains, the pasuk should have said, Vayachalein Pari. Like it says before, Vayachalein Yosef Chalein. Yosef dreamt a dream. Pari Chalem is out of the ordinary. Pari Chalem seems to mean Pari dreamt. What, nobody else dreams? Everybody dreams. What do you mean Paro dreamt? Everybody dreams. It meant this was a dream that affected the whole country. This wasn't a private dream of Pari. This was a dream of Pari Chalem. Pari was dreaming. This was a dream that affected the entire land of Egypt. What was his dream? He was standing on the Nile. What do you mean on the Nile? So simply means near the Nile. Okay? That's the simple meaning of Ala Ya'ird. Okay? Now, the Ya'ird literally means a river. In Egypt, the river is the Nile River.
Yeah.
Why is the Nile River? Because that was the land, the river that irrigated the whole land of Egypt. There's a pasuk that says, Li Ya'ird Vani asasini. Pari said, the river is mine and I made it. Pari had, was such an egotist. Pari thought he was a god. In fact, gods don't go to the bathroom. So Pari officially never went to the bathroom. Therefore, in Chumash Shmos, you know, when Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to tell Pari about the plagues, Hashem always sent Moshe to Pari early in the morning, before everybody got up. They didn't have bathrooms in those days. They would go to the Nile, right? To the rivers. So Pari would go every morning to the Nile before everybody got up, that nobody should know that he's a human being that goes to the bathroom. Pari thought he's a god, to the extent that he was standing on the Nile. Simply, it means near the Nile. You see, the LA is on the Pacific. Doesn't mean it's on the Pacific. It means near the Pacific, right? So it means, simply means Pari was standing next to the Nile. But the Torah says, Allah Ya'ir, because Pari said like this, the people in Egypt worshipped the Nile. They worshipped the Nile because that was the source of food from the irrigation of the Nile River. Pari said, I am standing on the Nile. What do you mean, on the Nile? I'm the god of the gods. But if you notice, when Pari tells over the dream to Yosef, he says, Hinni Eimed Al Svasa Yerd. I was standing on the banks of the river. He didn't say I was standing on the river, because Yosef would have told him, what do you mean you're standing on the river? You don't stand on rivers. So he changed, and a lot of things Pari changed from what he thought. So he said it was his river, he controlled it, and therefore he was able to stand on the Nile.
To have the dream of river is good, no? To water, ocean.
Dreaming water is normally good. Yeah. By the way, this dream of Pari wasn't bad. 7 years of plenty, 7 years of hunger, but the 7 years of plenty are going to take care of the 7 years of hunger. It wasn't a bad dream. Wasn't a bad dream at all.
It's a message.
Yeah. It was a message. And the Medrash she quotes over here says the difference between Goyim and Jews, by Goyim they say they stand on the gods. But by Hashem, Hashem stands over us. The famous story in the Gemara, when Unkelus, with the becoming a Jew, his uncle was the Roman emperor, and when he found out that his nephew became a Jew, he blew a gut. You know, the Romans at that time hated the Jews, and he sent one group of soldiers to bring them back. He converted them all. Then another group of soldiers, he converted them back. Finally, the king, the emperor, sent a third group of soldiers, and they said to him, he said to the soldier, don't talk to Unkelus. Just don't talk to him. Just bring him here. So they came to Unkelus. They said, we're not talking to you. Just come. Unkelus said, no problem. He walks outside the door, puts his hand on the mezuzah, and he kisses it. So the people say to him, what's this? That was a mistake. What's this? So Unkelus said, this is such a beautiful religion. Normally, you have the king inside, and the guards stand outside protecting the king. By the Jews, the servants are inside the house, and God, the king, stands outside the house protecting us. So when they heard that, they all converted. So, you know what? The king gave up hope on Unkelus. He said, forget it. I'm losing too many people. Let him stay a Jew. But it says, this is what the Medrash says. Pare stands on the gods. And by a Jew, Hashem stands over us. So that's the difference between that. Another thing he says, and the Medrash mentions this concept, only once in Chumash is Pari called Melech Mitzrayim, in reference to Yosef over here. It doesn't say Pari, Melech Mitzrayim, it says Pari. It says why? Because he considered himself the god of the Nile. So the Torah didn't want to say Melech Mitzrayim, because he considered himself a god. So therefore, you know, from the start, the Torah leaves it out to show that he thought himself as a god. Okay, what did he dream? V'hinei min ha'yared, out of the river, Early Sheva Paris were coming seven cows. Your face matter, good, beautiful, Ubrias Tavis and fat, you know, juicy cows. Your face matter means good looking. Brias Basi means very heavy meat.
Why does it have to be beautiful?
Huh?
Cows of beautiful appearance. Cows have to be beautiful?
No, no, it says that what it means is.
I could say fat cows.
No, no, no. It says, Rashi explains what does it mean. Rashi says beautiful means that the 7 years of good, everybody looked beautifully at everybody else. And as every detail in this dream, as we're going to learn, every detail in the dream, the slightest detail, brings out the essence of everything that was going to happen. For instance, the fact that the Pasuk says they came up from the Nile. What's the importance that they came out of the Nile? They're fat cows and skinny cows. What's the difference that they came out from the river? He says, because that's how Yosef understood. And the message is, it's going to have to do with food. Because the Nile was the source of food. For instance, Pari had advisors that said, you're going to have seven girls and they're going to die. You're going to have seven cities and they're going to lose seven cities. Yosef said, no, it has to do with food. How do we know it has to do with food? Because they came up from the Nile. And if the Nile was the source of the food, that's where it's going to come from. And that's why he saw cows, because what cows? Cows symbolize plowing.
What?
Plowing. To plow a field. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay, therefore, the river is mentioned that to symbolize that they originated in the river, the source of Egypt's sustenance, that not only regular cows, but there's cows from their food. Okay, now, normally, the Mepharshim bring down, the Nile overflew its banks once a year. The fact that this happened seven times from the Nile, the seven cows, Yosef understood it's going to be 7 years. Because this is coming up from the Nile, normally it happens once a year. So the fact that there are seven cows coming from the Nile, meaning the Nile is coming up to support, so it's 7 years. Your face matter fattened, meaning well fed, and they were beautiful, that they that everybody looked at each other nicely. And they grazed in the land, in the marshland, meaning next to the river. What does this mean? Why is this important? Who cares where they were? So Yosef interpreted this to mean that Ramban learns, this teaches us that the food is going to stay in Egypt. The food is not going to go. The 7 years of plenty are not going to be all over the world. It's only going to be in Egypt. Why? Because where did the good cows stay? Next to the Nile. Yeah. Meaning they stayed in Egypt. That's why they knew it's going to be only in Egypt.
So basically the message was that to prepare for the 7 years of hunger?
Right.
That was basically the message that
right.
Pharaoh was getting.
Well, that's from the simple meaning. The main concept is that Yosef should become the leader of the whole Egypt. Yeah. That's what Hashem wanted. He should become the leader of Egypt. Become the leader of Egypt.
To save the Jews.
Save the Jews. Then the Pasuk says, V'nei Shava Paris Acheres, Pasuk Gimel, another seven cows, Erle Sachareya Minayar, went up right after them. Which means, again in the interpretation, that the 7 years of hunger are going to follow immediately after the 7 years of good. There's not going to be a year later, 2 years later. Immediately is going to be that. Rois, mare, ugly, vidakis, basa, and very skinny cows. But I made and they stood, eitzel haporeis al svasa yerd, next to the cows on the bank of the river. Now, what does it mean? They didn't eat. The first one it says, they grazed. They ate by the Nile. Here it doesn't say that they ate. Okay?
They swallowed.
Huh? No, not that soon. Okay? Now, the Sipurna says an interesting concept. What's the interpretation of next to each other? The fat cows came up was a sign of plenty. The bad cows coming up, the skinny cows, is a sign of hunger. What's the meaning of standing next to each other? So the Sipurna learns an interesting thing. Egypt had food while everybody else in the world didn't. So at the same time, when the hunger started, Egypt had food, which is the fat cows, standing next to the skinny cows, which is the rest of the world that didn't have food. So that's what the Sipurna learns, why the Torah said that he stood next to them.
During the first 7 years, or toward the end of the 7 years, or the whole world is in hunger, and Egypt is in plenty?
No, the hunger didn't start until it started in Egypt. But when the hunger started in the rest of the world, Egypt still had food. Yes. So for them it was still plenty. The hunger in Egypt started, but they still had food
they
stored.
Yeah, because he put in the...
Yeah.
No, but everything was spoiled.
Where?
What the people...
That's what the people kept for themselves.
Yes.
That Joseph didn't do. But Egypt still had food from the years of plenty. Yes. All over the world, they didn't have years of plenty. So when the hunger started, they were hungry.
So the famous stuff started in Egypt too.
Yosef was king for only 7 years?
No. Basically? 7 years of good?
14 years.
No. The hunger stopped after 2 years. It was supposed to be for 7 years. But when Yaakov came down to Egypt, after 2 years, the hunger stopped. So Yosef was there 7 good years, 2 years of bad. And then Yaakov was in Egypt 17 years altogether until he died.
26.
Huh?
So far it's 26.
Well, no, it's 7
9
plus 15.
Yeah.
24.
I'm sorry. 26. 17. I'm sorry. 7 plus 17. Because 2 years would. No, 1 second. No, I'm sorry, you're right. 7 years of good, 2 years of hunger, then Yaakov came down for 17 years.
26.
Then Yaakov died. But then Yosef was still king for a while. Until he died.
Yeah. What age when Yosef died?
110.
110, and how old he was when he began to be
30.
King?
30.
30, as he was king
for 80 years.
80.
80 years. From 30 to 110.
That's not bad.
King for 80 years. A king, I mean, second in command.
Yeah, but everything was in his hands.
But that means, though, that Yosef was 30 when he became king, right? Plus 9 until Yaakov came down. Mm-hmm. Right?
39.
Plus another 17, which is altogether 26. So Yosef was 56 years old when Yaakov died. And afterwards, he was still a king until he was 110. So he was a king for a long time. And he would have died at 120. He lost 10 years of his life because of something wrong that he did.
Disrespecting
his father, right.
His father,
right. Or else he would have been the king another 10 years. Long time king.
No,
okay, let's stop here.
Yeah.